Welcome to episode 121 of Wife Teacher Mommy, the podcast sponsored by Educate and Rejuvenate. Today we are talking about secret behind the scenes from the Netflix show, The Trust, teacher work hours, and so much more with Gaspar Randazzo. This interview is so much fun, just like the previous interview I had with him about a year and a half ago. And there's some super funny stuff I don't want you to miss either. Make sure that you listen all the way to the end. It is a great time. You will just feel like you're listening in on a really fun teacher conversation. So let's go. Welcome to Wife Teacher Mommy, the podcast. I'm Kelsey Sorensen, a former elementary teacher and current homeschool mom. And even though I've been a resource creator since 2014, I've realized that printables alone aren't all you need in order to thrive as a teacher or homeschool parent. That's why I also created this show and got certified as a life coach to help you finally kick burnout to the curb and feel confident with whatever challenges come your way. With the right mindset strategies and new teaching inspiration, you're going to be well on your way to your best teacher life. Now let's go. Welcome, everybody, to the podcast today. It is March 26th. I can't believe it. It is spring in full swing. We just had our Educate and Rejuvenate reveal party for our summer event. I love these reveal parties. We did it for the first time last year, and it was so much fun that I told my team, we just have to do it again. We do like a guessing game, and it's just so much fun. And by the time you're listening to this, we have now revealed the keynotes, and one of them is Gaspar, who is here on the podcast today. And then the other keynote is Christina Kuzmich, who is back. She was a keynote last year, and we have her back again as well. So we have Gaspar, who is a teacher, a stand-up comedian. He's been on Netflix. He's incredible. We have Christina, who is a mom, and she just speaks to everybody and just has this huge heart, and she is awesome. I love to make sure we have some balance in our keynotes, making sure we have like both a teacher background and a mom background, because we do have our teacher track. We have our homeschool track as well. And it is a full event, no matter which one you are. We have a full track for teachers. You can completely ignore the parent track if you want. But a lot of our teachers actually ended up finding some of the homeschool sessions really helpful as well. And then vice versa, if you homeschool, and you can learn from, you know, educators who are in the school system. You can learn from fellow homeschool moms. I feel like we just learn so much more when we come together. And the thing I've loved with our community, sometimes people are like, how does it work? Like, how are you able to help both teachers and homeschool parents? They're like totally different people. But here's why. It's because I've been a teacher. I'm now a homeschool mom. And everybody who comes here is like-hearted. We are all here because we want to better ourselves. We want to better education for children, whether they're in a classroom or at our kitchen table. So it just works. Like, trust me, whenever we come together, it is wonderful. So I'm so excited for this event. And the sooner you grab your ticket, the better price than you'll get too. So don't delay. We're doing it a little bit differently this year. We had our early bird reveal, and it's going up each week until it hits the full price of $19.99 for a ticket, which is still a steal of a deal compared to most other events. We try to make it very accessible. But if you grab your ticket earlier on in the promotional period, you'll get an even better price. So go to educateandrejuvenate.com to learn more about this summer's event, to see the full speaker lineup. We've got so many incredible speakers. You'll be able to click on each one's picture and see what they're presenting about and learn more. And I love these events. I love how we start with a workout. I love how we have life coaching. I love how we all just come together and share with each other. And it's just such a high vibe. And that is what I love. It really even comes through virtually. Like, it's, I mean, just as good as an in-person event. I love it. And the reason is because everybody who's there wants to revitalize their teaching, rejuvenate their spirit, and reignite their passion for life. Everybody who's at these events. So it's so, so good. Okay, so let's get to today's interview. It's so much fun. If you have not yet, before we get into this, watch the show The Trust on Netflix. Now, we don't give anything away, so there's not any huge spoilers here. I tried to be careful of that. So, I mean, there's little tidbits, but nothing that gives away anything huge. But I really recommend watching it. You'll hear more about why as you listen. Like, you don't have to turn this off and watch it first, but I would definitely recommend watching the show. Like, it is just a good show, not because Gasper's in it. It's one I would watch anyways, and I'm not going to say any more about it because I have Gasper explain the concept of the show in the interview. Before we dive in, I will read his intro quick for you. So Gasper Van Dazzo is a New York City high school teacher in his 13th year in the classroom. And when he's not in the classroom, you can find Gasper doing stand-up comedy all around the country where he talks about his life as a teacher and his experiences dealing with students from all walks of life. In addition to stand-up comedy and teaching, Gasper recently starred in the Netflix show The Trust and co-hosts the Social Studies podcast along with Joe Dombrowski. You can find him on all social media platforms at Stand Up Randazzo. Okay, let's get to the interview. Okay, welcome back to the podcast, Gasper. So excited to have you again.
I'm very excited to be here again. Thank you.
So you've been up to a lot since we last talked.
Pretty good. Things have been, it's been a busy last few months for absolutely, for sure. So I've been pretty much since we talked, last time we talked, I had just started like headlining, doing stand-up, doing my own shows. And now in the last year and a half, I've been like traveling the whole entire country doing it, which has been pretty wild. And then I was on a Netflix show. Which, actually, speaking of, when we spoke, I was in the midst of auditioning for it because the audition process took months, but I didn't think anything of it. So, like, that's probably, well, also, I had, like, 100 NDAs I signed, but I also was like, this isn't going to happen. But I was on a Netflix show called The Trust. It aired in January. It was pretty successful, I guess, you know, in the eyes of Netflix.
It was a really fun show to watch.
I don't know if you watched it, so I don't want to say, you know, I mean, I'll say. Even though I was on it, as non-objective or subjective, I don't know, whatever the one that you're not being biased, like, it was a good show, period. Like, I would have watched it anyway because the concept was cool.
Oh, yeah.
It just so happened I was on it, so it was like, oh, well, I guess I'll watch it more because I'm on it. But it's so funny because, like, being on it and watching it is such a different feel because like when you watch it as like a person on the outside, you're just watching it for entertainment. But when you're watching it as someone who's on it, number one, I'm like always annoyed because I'm like, no, that's not how that happened. Like, you know, like that's not like exactly what we meant. Cause like, you know, they edit.
Yeah. They take it out of They need to make it extra like exciting
and, like,
for
you know,
television.
It's funny.
Right?
So like your film 24/7, right? So you're just on camera 24/7 with a mic, with a camera. You go to the bathroom. There's a camera following you. And they're not watching you go to the bathroom.
Oh,
but
geez.
Which was a funny part because like if you had to go to the bathroom, you'd be like, hi. You'd talk to your microphone and your shirt. You're like, I have to go to the bathroom. So if you want to shut my mic. I wouldn't mind because like, you're like, you don't want everybody listening to you, but,
right.
So, and then when you watch it, it's, you know, condensed into, you know, 8 or 9 42-minute episodes. So like you're filmed every day, you know, at least 16 hours that you're awake for a month straight. And then they're condensing 10 different people's lives into 40-minute episodes. So it's like kind of crazy what they edit, what they put. So, but it's cool. It was definitely fun to watch. Like people are all like to my wife, to me, they're like, was it weird watching your husband on TV? And she's like, I mean, like you've never met me in person, but like we've spoken. My wife's like, not really. She's he's literally the same exact person he was on there that he was in real life. So she's like, for me, she's like, it was just like hanging out with him. Like, you know, I didn't change to be on TV. Like some of the people I felt were like, I'm on TV. So let me, you know, be a little more this or a little more that. Yeah.
Maybe exaggerate it a little bit.
For me, I was like, nah, I'm not changing nothing about myself. Like, this is what I am. I'm just going to go on the show, be myself. This is why they brought me on the show. Like, they reached out to me, so why am I going to act different than I am? That was kind of my mentality. Also, I don't know how to be anybody else except myself, so I just had to be me.
You were awesome. And I actually agree with you on it just being such a cool concept of a show, yeah. too. Like, I hadn't really seen anything just like that before. You know, obviously it was like,
yeah,
pretty cool. Can you explain the concept of the show for those who are like, wait, what? All what right. is this?
So, well, the name of the show was called The Trust. So what they did was, is 11 people. So just a side note, just for you, Kels, like, well, everybody now, we were told nothing about the show going in. I knew nothing. Literally nothing. I was told, hey, you're going to compete for money. I said, is there physical challenges? Like, should I start working out? They were like, we leave in 3 weeks. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, so I guess it's too late for that. They were like, it's going to be mental games and you are going to compete for money. Then you're blindfolded. You're in a hotel for a week before you even step foot in the house. You were in a hotel for a week and they keep you in a hotel room for 23 hours a day. You go out 1 hour a day with someone called a handler and they walk you around the hotel and like, it's weird. And like, you're just together. You like sit, you have dinner with them. They're like, hey, if you want to go in the pool, you can. We were in the Dominican Republic. I was like, I'm by myself. Like, I'm not going in a pool while you watch me for 1 hour. And then they bring you back to your hotel room and it's like, psychological torture, like, because they want you to, when you get released into the house, they want you to be like pent up. Like, I just spent a whole week by myself, not talking, not doing anything. And then when you're in the house, then when we got to the house, the host was Brooke Baldwin. I don't know if you know her. She was a CNN anchor for a long time. So she comes out to this like cliff and she's like, hey, everybody, congratulations. You're all winners. And like, that's the first time we're hearing anything about the show. And we're like, wait, what? And then basically the concept of the show is there's a trust, a bank vault. There's $250,000 in the vault. Everybody's a winner. And every night there's going to be an elimination ceremony. You don't ever have to vote. So every night there's a vote ceremony, but nobody has to vote. So it's not like, okay, Kelsey and Gasper, your two are up for voting. And everyone vote for one of them. It doesn't work like that. Everybody is given the option in private if they want to vote or not. If you vote, you can kick somebody off with just one vote. So if I decide not to vote, if Kelsey decides not to vote, if Joe decides not to vote, but then one person's like, I'm going to vote for Kelsey. Kelsey's off just from that one vote. So you have to kind of trust that these people are not going to vote for you. Because the fear that sneaks into your brain is, okay, I'm not going to vote, but wait, what if Kelsey votes? And if Kelsey throws one rogue vote at me, then I'm going home. So now you go down, but in concept, you're all like hanging out and people are like, all the comments were like, everybody wanted to save each other. Everybody wanted to make it to the end and share the money. Like, you don't even know each other. Yes, that's true. We didn't know each other. But you also spend 24/7 with each other for 3-4 days. So My best friend, I've seen him, let's see, in the last year between children, work, life, I've seen him maybe 9 hours total in the last year because He lives, you know, 20 miles away from me. So that's like, I don't see him. So right. I saw these people for 16 hours the first day. Then 16 hours the second day. You know, so by the time we finally started voting, I've already hung out with them for a whole week. In 3 days, I've hung out with them for 40 hours. That's a lot of time. So now you develop connections. You develop relationships with these people. So you don't want to just be like, ah, screw you, I'm sending you home. Like it, you know.
Right. You do get to know them a bit.
It's human nature. You're in a room all day, every day, with no phones, no TVs, no distractions. You're just in a house next to each other. And then what the show does is they start creating drama. So like, they'll do things like, sorry, I'm like battling a cold here. I've been sick. Yeah. So, they'll do things to like create distrust. So they'll say, everybody, let's play a fun game. Let's rank ourselves from funniest to least funniest. So they're like, Gasper, you're funny. You go to the front. Oh, you're not funny. Ha ha ha. Then they're like, Let's rank ourselves from best style to least. Oh, ha, Gasper, you have horrible style. You know, Tolu, you have great style. We're all laughing. And then it's like, now rank each other from most trustworthy person in the house to least trustworthy person. Go. And now all of a sudden you're like, all right, well, you're the least trustworthy person here. And we all agree that you should be last. And you're like, oh, that sucks. Like, and then like, or it's like, right. Rank yourselves from smartest to dumbest. And now all of a sudden you have people saying, hey, we collectively, all 10 of us think you're the dumbest person here. And now you have people saying like, well, why am I dumb? And now all of a sudden people start fighting and people start saying, well, if you don't trust me and you put me last, why should I save you and not vote for you? So now it's making me say, when I go down to vote, I'm like, crap, she might be mad at me. So I have to vote for her and she might vote for me. But what if she gets a friend to vote for me? So now I have to get a friend to vote for her. And it creates this cluster of everybody going after each other to eliminate each other.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that game was so interesting. The like ranking of each other. It sounds like there were more of those than were even shown on the show.
For about an hour. They show about 2 minutes of it. But in total, the game did go on for about an hour. So mind you, that was the last 2 minutes. So the whole first like 55 minutes was like fun and games and laughing. Like, who would you want to be stuck with on a desert island? You know, oh, Gasper talks too much. Like, we were laughing.
Yeah.
And then it got real serious. And it was like, who is the least likable person in the house? Like, and everyone's now pointing at somebody and you're like, oh, damn. Like, I'm least likable? I thought I was nice, you know? Not me, but the, you know, like, I mean, you watched the show. Thankfully, things went all right for me, I must say. So, you know.
So I'm forgetting his name now. The one Jake? Who, because there was the one Jake, yes. So the, your reaction. So in the show, it showed him like always putting himself like at the beginning of the line.
That was for everything, every day. And then. For every event.
Did he do it for all the other ones too?
So. He didn't just save himself to the end.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
So funny. Well, and then that ended up kind of coming to get him, though.
Well, so.
If you watch the show.
Another part I left out about the show is then what would happen is you would then be brought into a vault. So, like, different people would be selected based on different events. You would get brought into a vault, and then they would say, okay, there's $250,000 in the vault. Selfishly, right now, you can take $25,000 for yourself, but there'll be a negative consequence for the group, or you could double the money and put it back in and put $50,000 back in to share with everybody, which you're not getting anything, and there'll be a positive consequence. So now if you're thinking people are coming after you, you're going to take that money because it's guaranteed money, but then it creates a negative ripple in the house for people. But the people who go into the vault never have to say anything that happened in the vault. So you could come out and be like, oh, I did the positive. We got more money. Yay. And no one would know what you actually said and or did in the vault. So that was another thing. Like, people would go in the vault and then they'd be like, hey, I put the money back in. Then the next person would go in, I put the money back in. Then the next person, then the host will come out and be like, hey, guys, there's $150,000 in the vault. And we're like, wait, we started with 250. How's there 150? We thought everybody put the money in. So now you question everybody who went into the vault. So there's a lot of different strings being pulled at all times. And the reality is, like, we were in the house playing chess, and the producers and everybody behind the camera is playing. I mean, we were playing checkers and they were playing chess, because whatever we thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
They could just switch it at any moment because they're watching it live. They're just playing with the puzzle pieces. So that was like every time we thought we had things figured out, they would switch it all up on us. So like you could never be comfortable.
It was
stressful. I mean, on top of not being able to speak to my family, like that part was brutal. You know, like that's.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't have your phone,
no communication with the outside world at all. Like, nothing. You couldn't even, like, get a newspaper headline. So, because they want you to be completely just the game. That's it.
In
so
the game.
Like, they don't want you to be convoluted with other stuff. And I must say, like, there's a lot of things that don't get shown, obviously. Like, one thing, it was my kid's birthday. Yeah. And, like, I really just, I was, like, ready to go home. Like, at one point, and I was like, just send me home. I was like, honestly, like, I did it. I did the experience. I got really far. I was like, just send me to the, send me home. I want to call my kids. It was my son's birthday. I was just like, and they got me a cake.
Yeah.
And they, like, did a birthday party for my son. Now, it was sweet. Didn't change the fact that it actually made me miss him more. Because then I was like, oh, I'm an asshole. Now I'm just here on a deserted island eating a cake for my son. But and then, like, at one point, they actually asked the producers. They were like, the rest of the cast was like, you can literally write this into the show. We don't care. We will take $5,000 out of the bank to let Gasper call his family. Like, we'll take the money out if you let him FaceTime his family. Which I thought, like, to me, that was, like, the nicest possible thing. You know what I mean? Like, even that they would try that. Like,
yeah,
you know, it was, you know, you're not seeing everything on the show. Some people are monsters when they really weren't monsters. Some people are angels and they really weren't angels. So I'll tell you after recording if you want to know. The behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah. Hear more of that. The behind the scenes version. So how exactly did you get to be on the show? Like, I mean, whatever you can share about that.
So long story short, I had to audition. So during COVID, I was just home like everybody. And I was like, there was something came up online. It was like an audition for a TV show that looking for someone who was funny and knew history. And I'm like, oh, I'm a stand-up comedian and I teach history.
Oh, there you go.
So I auditioned, went through round after round after round. And I was like, damn, I think I'm going to get this. And then in the end, they were like, sorry, we didn't pick you. I'm like, oh, that's show. But that's show business. Ooh. Like, at the end of the day, like, even if you're the perfect fit, you're not the perfect fit. Because the perfect fit is someone with green eyes who does everything you just did. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, so I just moved on with my life. That was, I would say, in like February. October, I get a phone call. Maybe a little, whatever. Maybe about a year later, I get a phone call. And it's like, hey, this is, you know, Kelly from this blah, blah, blah. Do you remember me? I auditioned you for that show. And I'm like, yeah, I do remember you. How you been? And she's like, great. We have another show coming out that we think you would be phenomenal for. We remembered you from all your auditions. We absolutely loved you. We want to put you on this show if you're interested in auditioning. So I was like, yeah, all right, cool, whatever. Because like at that point, I was like kind of jaded because like I went so far in the other one just to not get it. And that happened to me once before to be a host of a sports comedy show. Like, I went really, really, really far. And then COVID shut the production down. COVID hit when I was in the middle of, it was down to me and two other people to be the host of this show. And then COVID happened. And that was the end of it.
Yeah.
So,
COVID
like,
was,
so that and then this show. So I was like, whatever. So I auditioned October. A second round, November. Third round, mid-November. Fourth round, December. And I'm like, oh, this is going well for me again. But once again, I was very like, you know, hesitant. I was just like, whatever. I'm still full-time teaching. I'm still doing stand-up, you know, pretty heavy. So I was like, I don't care. I'm just, if it happens, it happens. Then in January, they called me and they're like, hey, listen, don't book any shows for March. And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, we can't tell you. I go, look, I'm not booking shows for a maybe because like this is my income and now you're telling me not to.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we can't tell you if you got it or not, but don't book any shows in March. If you got it, it would be in March. So now I'm in a dilemma because I'm like, damn, I'm actually like pretty far in this. And if they're telling me not to book.
Yeah.
And like I went through background checks. I went through everything you could go through. So now I'm like, damn. I actually might have this. So in New York City, you can't work two jobs the same time. Like, so I couldn't, let me rephrase that. I could work a second job at night, but I can't get paid on the clock while I still am employed by New York City's Department of Ed. Okay. So like, I can't like call out sick for a month. I can't take a leave and work another job. I can take a leave and take care of my children. I can take a leave and do something like without getting paid, but you can't get paid. And this isn't like I could have just like called out sick and went and filmed a TV show that's going to be on Netflix.
Right.
So now I'm like, damn, like, what am I going to do? So now what I decided to do was you have to give a 30-day notice if you want to resign. Now, you could, once you give that 30 days, you could withdraw it at any time. You don't have to go through with it, right? So just so we're following, right? So you put in the paperwork, but you can pull it at any time. So in the beginning of February, I put in the paperwork. And I said to my school, I go, I don't know if I got it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to at least do it the right way. So I put in my 30 days and I was like, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, I don't think I got it. There's literally thousands and thousands of people auditioned for this. You know what I mean? I was like, there's really no chance it's going to be me. So I put in my resignation papers. I go live my life. I'm emailing them. I'm like, any news? Like, I need to know. So now in New York City, after you resign, you have 5 years to come back. So you have 5 years to come back. There's no guarantee that you'll get your position back, but you could come back into the system within 5 years. Okay. So I put it. So now it's like February 20th. And I'm like, all right, clearly I didn't get it. And then it's like February 21st, 22nd, 23rd, February 24th. They email me and they're like, hey, we would love to chat with you tomorrow on Zoom. Can you please join us for a call? Mind you, I'm in Boston. I live in New York. I'm in Boston doing a show. I'm about to walk off. I just walked off stage. I'm about to go do the meet and greet. And I get this email and I'm like, what the hell? So I write back to them and I said, I will meet with you. But if you're not telling me that I got this show, this is the most messed up thing in the whole entire world. So they wrote back like, LOL, like, we'll see you tomorrow. So at that point, I pretty much knew, like, because what are they going to do? If they're going to tell you you didn't get it, they're going to message you. Hey, thanks for participating. You didn't get it.
Yeah.
So I jump on the call. It's like February 25th now. And they're like, hey, congratulations. You got it. We leave in 3 days. They go, no, I don't. They're like, yeah, like we're leaving Sunday. It was like Thursday. I'm like, no, I'll leave Tuesday. Like, I have to go to work Monday. They're like, why? I'm like, because I have to go in. I have to tell them that my resignation's real. I have to switch my insurance to my wife. Like, there's a lot of like, I'm not an influencer. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of the people on the show were influencers. That was their job. So like, jump being like, cool, peace out, world. Like, that doesn't work for me. Like, I was like, I need to get a plan in place for my children. I need to, you know, figure out life for the next month that I'm not going to be home.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need a few days. And they were like, all right. I mean, in the end, like, it just cut into my hotel time. Like, some people were there for a week. I was there for 4 days. You know what I mean? Like, it's not killer, but I was like, I have responsibilities. Like, I can't, you guys waited till the end. And they're like, we're Netflix. Like, we're not in a cocky way, but they were just like, we are the end.
Yeah.
Like, we tell people and people jump. Like, I can't operate like that. I have a real life.
How did it feel to like take that leap of faith to just be like, okay, yeah, this resignation is real. I don't know if my exact position.
I didn't even know if I would get rehired, to be honest. Like, I knew, like, I know enough people, and like, I know I have a lot of friends that I could have figured it out. And I had like other plans in place that, like, if, you know, in the event. And also, like, a big part of it was like, I'll just come home and do stand up full time. Like, I didn't really, like, stand up, knock on wood, has been really, really good for me. So it's like, I was like, I'll just come back and do that. But I don't want to pass up teaching job. I actually like teaching. Like, teaching keeps me grounded with, you know, like, grounded, literally, like, I'm punished from my wife. Because teaching keeps me home all week. You know what I mean? Which therefore I could be home with my kids all week.
Yeah.
I could do everything, you know, but I mean, it does hold me back because I do get offers for shows. Hey, we'll give you a, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday means I'm flying out Wednesday night or I'm flying out Thursday morning.
Yeah.
So I have to pass a lot of that up, which is a lot of money left on the table. But the financial stability of, you know, knowing I have a guaranteed paycheck is pretty nice too. So like, although in the short term,
It's kind of like, you're
like in the short term, I could probably make more doing stand up, but like in a long term, I have two kids and a mortgage and two cars. The steady paycheck every 2 weeks is very nice and, you know, less stressful.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, for
sure. So, but it was a leap of faith because, but this is what I explained to my principal. I said, if I don't do this and then this show comes out and this show is a hit and I am sitting home watching it, I'm going to curse myself for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? And the show came out and it was a hit. I mean, it was number two on Netflix for 2 weeks. So like Netflix considered it a hit.
It was really good.
So I was like, if I don't do this for myself, like this is, and the other thing I looked at it, like when I explained, and like my wife was very supportive of it, but like, it was kind of like, this is never probably going to happen again. And if I say no, like it's definitely never happening. Like I said yes, so now the other doors have opened with things like, you know, just like in talks with Netflix stuff. But like, if I said no, they would have been like, who the hell does this, you know, like this guy was offered a show. He said no after he went through the audition process. Then he said no. Like, that's it. I blew my chance, you know? So I kind of, you know, felt like it was, I had to do it.
We'll be right back to the episode, so don't go anywhere. But I didn't want you to miss hearing about our Educate and Rejuvenate 2024 Summer Conference on July 16th and 17th, 2024. This year's lineup is truly exceptional, featuring two dynamic live keynotes, Gaspar Randazzo, a teacher turned stand-up comedian, recently showcased on the Netflix series The Trust, and the return of the best-selling author and video creator Christina Kuzmich. Our roster of additional speakers covers a diverse range of topics, including math, language arts, reading, social-emotional learning, classroom management, homeschooling, and combating burnout. What's more, we've tailored specific tracks this year for educators and for parents, ensuring that everyone finds value in the sessions. You'll have the flexibility to choose your preferred track or even attend sessions from both. Each day kicks off with a morning workout, followed by engaging panels with our presenters and opportunities for live life coaching sessions. Plus, we'll be giving away numerous prizes throughout the event, making it an unparalleled professional development experience. And the best part, you'll enjoy it all from the comfort of your own home. We want to see you there because if you love what you hear on the podcast when you're listening or watching all by yourself, imagine what it would be like to join live with me and thousands of like-hearted educators who also want to revitalize their teaching, rejuvenate their spirit, and reignite their passion for life. Visit educateandrejuvenate.com now for more details on the 2024 event. And if you're listening at a later date, the link will provide information on our upcoming events.
And I don't regret it because I don't regret it because I came home and guess what? I got my job back instantly. Same spot, same schools.
I love it.
Nothing changed in my life. I went back to, I had tenure again. I went right back to the same salary. I lost 2 months of pay that would have went into the summer. I lost 2 months of summer pay. But as you saw on the show, I did just fine financially to make up for the summer pay that I lost. So you have to watch the show to see if I won or not. But
Watch the show to see what ended up happening.
Yeah, so I don't care that I lost. Like, and then they were like, oh, when you retire, you have to give back those 2 months. You have to work an extra 2 months. I was like, I can't retire until I'm 63 in New York. So I was like, from teaching. So I was like, I'll worry about that when I'm 63 and 2 months old. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Right now, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you did awesome on the show. It was so fun to watch too. Cause like, as I was watching, it was like, hey, there's Gaspar. Like, I know him from like the podcast and the events. Just virtually, but you know, but I'm like, he's so cool. And like you said, you were just here on the show.
That to me was like the best compliment, like on Reddit, on Instagram, on everything. It was like, I've been following Gaspar for a while from stand up or from teacher or from the pod. And they're like, this guy is the same in everything that he's ever done. And I'm like, I had people comment, they're like, I went to high school with him. He hasn't changed one bit. I'm like, cool. Like that to me was like the best compliment. Cause like, I just was myself and I showed that you could be yourself and I don't want to ruin anything, but like you could be yourself and still be accepted and well received.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
But you get it. So
I get it. Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing one comment. I think it was one you might have shared in your stories. Cause right when it was coming out, I was like watching your stories because you were sharing like a ton of updates.
It was fun. Yeah. When it came
there was
out,
one like, you shared.
that stuff. Sorry, yeah.
There's one you shared because I had watched Jury Duty not too long before. Like, we didn't that watch it right when it came out. There's one that was like, I feel like Gasper's like on Jury Duty on this show. Like, everyone else is acting or something like that. Like,
so that was my favorite comment. The producers actually sent me that. They're like, this was just on Twitter or whatever. And they were like, we're dying. For those of you who don't know, the show Jury Duty is one guy is not an actor and everybody's an actor. And the guy thinks he's on Jury Duty. And everybody around him is an actor and just crazy stuff keeps happening. And he's like, how could this be
real? It's a good show too.
That's how I felt on the show because some people were so crazy and I was so nothing. And they even recorded me saying it. I was like, guys, this is nothing. I'm like, I hang out with 150 high school kids all day. Like, this doesn't scare me. Like, they were like, people were like, this is the most stressful day of my life. I'm like, my wife died giving birth and we had to be revived, okay? Nothing that happens on this tropical island for a game is the most stressful moment of my life. I can assure you that right now. Like, my...
it might be stressful,
like,
but you've done more.
My son was born 3 months early. Like, you're crying that we called you, the least trustworthy person in the house. I don't feel bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, been through worse, heard worse. But like, yeah, I mean, it was, to me, I just viewed it as a vacation. I was like, I'm on a vacation, but I did say, like, I am going to play to win because I didn't just quit my job to lose. But also, right. Like you said, I just was myself and I had fun with it. And I genuinely had fun. I liked the relationships I made with the people, you know, not everybody, but you put 11 people together, not everybody's always going to get along. You know what I mean? And that's reality.
Right. So, right. Well, it's a bunch of random people put together,
you know?
This has
to be probably the most eclectic cast of people that they could have formed because, you know, you had a 75-year-old woman from, you know, the Midwest. You had a cowboy. You had a military bro. You had a millionaire. You had the model. You had me. Like, you know, I don't really fit in with any of them. I fit in with everybody. You know, that's the thing. Like, everybody made it work, which was cool. Like, it was a really cool social experiment of that. Like, take everybody from diverse backgrounds, different financial statuses, and put everybody in a room and just be like, hey, make it work. And you know what's cool? Like, the creators said that they ran the simulation like 500 times with, you know, because they have to run, like, they run it a fake version, a test version. They have, like, a full cast do the show. Before the show's even done, they have a full cast acted out. Like, so there was like a guy who played me. There was a guy who played the cowboy. There was a guy who played the military, you know, like, and they said in every scenario they ran, it never finished the way that it finished in all the scenarios. And they said it's just a true show of like, you don't know how people are going to respond when you put them in situations, you know?
Yeah. And then everything, like, one situation triggers another one. Yeah. And like,
you can't predict. You know, like, I'm not spoiling anything, but like, me and the cowboy became very close. They were like, really, in so minimal of our simulations, were you and the cowboy like best friends? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, well, we just got along. He was awesome, but like, New Yorker, you know, they thought I was going to be like, loud New Yorker. And he was going to be like, howdy, ma'am, cowboy. But yet, we meshed, you know, and we hung out and we still talk and hang out. So it's like pretty cool.
It's cool. Yeah. So did you make like lasting connections with anyone else there that you feel like?
I talked to three people, I would say. I talked to everybody except for one person.
You'll have to tell me about that after we record.
Yeah, I talked to everybody except for one person. And then, I just wrote it in the chat. I talked to everybody except that one person, but I'm still close with like three people. Yeah. As close as you can be with,
That's awesome. So what has changed for you since the show came out, like before the show and after the show? Do you feel like much has changed overall?
To be honest with you, I thought like life would change. Like, it changed in slight ways. Like, number one, it's hysterical that my students all watched it. So, but like I teach high school. So like if my teacher was an extra on The Price is Right, I would have went crazy as a kid. So like think about from a high school kid's mindset, the guy teaching you about Alexander the Great is on a huge Netflix show that's just like streaming throughout the world.
I mean, so that would be insane.
That was kind of cool. Like a lot of the kids were just like, oh, is my teacher on Netflix right now? Like they would just like pull up the show on their phones. They'd have it downloaded and they'd be watching it. And they'd be like, Mr. Andazo, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? So like that made me laugh a lot. Like I was in the middle of, so like with the teacher comedy stuff that I usually do and stand up, usually my audiences are just like women ages 21 to 45. That's my wife's nightmare demographic. And that's every show. That's usually who's there, right? It's all teachers and their husbands. That's like my primary audience. If I'm out, people stop me, but they're usually teachers. And like this is before the show. They're usually teachers and they're just like, I follow you on Instagram. You know, I'm at the park with my kids. People, you know, like wherever. Now what I notice is I still get stopped by the teacher people. You know, those people didn't go anywhere. Like, you know, and that's like I was just in the supermarket before and I didn't get a cart and I'm literally walking down the thing. I have 4 boxes of mac and cheese, a thing of burgers, hot dog buns, hot dog. Everything's just in my arm. And this lady goes, oh, my God, you're stand-up Randazzo. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're you. And she starts laughing. She's like, what are you doing here? I was like, oh, you know, I like to just linger around supermarkets, picking up as much as I can and then dropping it. And she's like, oh, my God, it's like so crazy to see you shopping. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I got to eat dinner. And so like it is still always cool to me. And like I like running into people because I like to talk. So I don't care. But now since the show's come out, I'm getting stopped by very different people who would have like never stopped me. Like I was in Arizona last week. I'm walking down the street and like a busboy at a restaurant comes running out from like the back. And he's like, oh, you're the guy from the trust. And he's like, what's up? And like, he's just like taking pictures. He's like a 16-year-old kid. Like that's never been my audience. You know what I mean? Like, like people like that or like, a lot of like older people, just period, just older couples or like, you know, young couples who aren't teachers. So like that part's interesting. Or like I was picking my son from school and like this like rocker guy who like, once again, would have never been following like my teacher stuff, like stops me and he's like, yo, trust guy, what's up, man? And like, I'm like, hey, what's up? That's been cool. Ticket sales for my shows have really gone through the roof, which is great. Yeah, like since the show has come out, I've sold out every show that I've done. So I've done...
That's amazing. Good for you.
We're in March. So I didn't do anything in January because I wanted the show to like be out and I wanted to like enjoy it and watch it. So like I didn't want to be on the road because the show would get released. I didn't want to be away from my wife. I wanted to watch it with her. And then I was in LA doing promo stuff for the show. So I didn't book myself for anything. Mm-hmm. So I went back on tour in the beginning of February. I've done like 7 shows and nine shows. Every one of them has sold out. So that's been pretty cool. So it's like whether that's it's people cool. coming to because they saw me on the trust, people coming because they follow me on Instagram, whatever, but they've all sold out. So it's like pretty wild because it's like that's a nice feeling to, you know, sell out shows.
Yeah, definitely.
Like people were like, oh, I saw your face on a billboard and I watched you on the show. So I was like, I got to go meet him. And I was like, oh, so like those are people that would have never come to a show. So that adds 15, 20 people every night. So like now you went from 180 to 200, you know, and that's a, you know, a few hundred dollar difference in price too, you know, what you make. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what's changed, I guess. Cool. And like. And people online, you know, write mean things about you. That's fun. So, but that's the thing. Like to me, that means nothing. Cause I'm like, you guys are talking to the wrong person. I teach rough kids. Anything you say about me from user 1172538, you know, some fake screen name, you know what I mean? Nothing bothers me. You know,
some teenager probably already said it at some point, right?
And said it to my face with a fake profile picture, you know?
So recently on Instagram, there were some reels you were doing that totally cracked me up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because every time I try to stop doing them, people are like, bring them back. I'm like, oh. I'm like, all right, one more. So how did it start?
It seemed like it maybe started from like somebody's comment or something, but you were doing these reels about how many hours you were working a day as a teacher.
Some
and it kept
lady
going
messaged
up.
Me on Facebook and she said, hi, I'm a teacher and I just want to let you know that you're making us all look bad because most teachers work 14 hours a day and we don't, and you're making it like we don't work and it's so hard. I don't know what, but basically she said all teachers work 14 hours a day. So I made a video. I took her comment and I was like fake crying. And I was like, you know, it's so hard when I get comments like this because like people think it's so easy to make like to be a teacher. Like they don't realize what goes into that 14 hours a day. Like, you know how hard it is to pick a movie to show to your class. And I was like, there's so many options to pick from. And like then you don't find the right movie. And if you can't find the right. And I just kept talking about movies and it just like had like a million views in a night. And I was like, oh, damn, this was funny. So then like I made another one, but I was like, oh, I was like, when you know, I made my wife hold the camera outside the car and I ran after the car, but I had like papers in my hand, like I was grading. And I was like, when you run home after work so you could keep up, so you don't have to waste time driving so you can work 16 hours a day. And then it just, the time just like kept going up and then it became teachers working 18 hour days. But when people would like jump on late, they just thought like if they didn't see that first video, they thought that I was a teacher saying that I work 18 hour days. So like I was getting like all this weird hate mail of people being like, stop working so much. Like teach, you got to breathe. Like you got to take time for your family. So then I was taking their comments and I was like taking a break from my 18 hour day to learn my children's names. And I was like, oh, who are you? You know, like stupid stuff. But and then I made that one with the hotel. I don't know if you saw that. While I was on the road.
Oh, I'm not sure if I saw that one.
I did a day in the life of a teacher who works 18 hours a day. And I was like, so Monday through Friday, I sleep in a hotel so that I'm not distracted by my children. So I don't feel like obligated to talk to them. And I'm like, so I can work. And then I'm like brushing my teeth, writing a lesson. I'm running on a treadmill, writing a lesson. Like, it's all stupid stuff. But like, once again, people didn't see the first video. So they're like, it's disgusting that you would sleep in a hotel to avoid your children. I'm like, what? Don't, like, are these people dumb? Like, I don't get it. But so I had a good time with it. But it all started from this lady's comment. I do feel bad for the lady because, you know, I made like 13 videos about her and they've been seen like,
I mean, I feel like it became its own thing at that point.
Well, and
you
then
know?
When I was doing, like... I was in San Diego doing stand-up, and someone in the crowd was like, hey, 2 days. So then I ended up telling the story to the crowd, but then, of course, I was just like making fun of the lady more. And then, I mean, it's my own fault that I posted the clip online, and then that did really well. And then I was like, oh, this poor lady, she just hates me. But she's too busy working, so she can't see it. Nah,
she probably didn't see it. Yeah, she was 14. Working her 14 hours.
Exactly. So. You don't work for, like, let's say you work 7 during the day. You're coming home working, because that's a school day, right? 7 hours, right? Not, you know, 6.5.
Right. Right.
You're coming home and you're putting in another 7 hours. 7 hours? So you're coming home at 3 and then you're working from 3 to 10. And then you're going back. Like, are you the president?
Yeah.
Like, that's not normal. You have bad time management skills. That's what that comes down to.
Yeah. That's
like, cause like even as a new teacher, I remember, of course, as a brand new teacher, I was doing maybe 1 hour, 2 hours when I came home every night, like stressing, ripping my hair out. Mm-hmm. But another 7 hours, like, that's not normal.
No, it's not. And so if you're listening and you feel like you're working 14 hours a day, maybe listen to one of the episodes that we go home. Yeah, that's the short version. But we do have some episodes where we talk about time management. So definitely
I was like, I don't, this lady's working 14 hours. I go, I don't even work the 6 hours I'm supposed to be working. And I said that at stand up. And then, of course, my assistant principal saw it. And she's like, that was just a joke, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. I was like, obviously,
yes, of
I'm
course.
Here working.
It was just a joke. Oh, man. But So on the time management, though, so I mean, like what you talked about, you are like teaching, you're doing stand up, you're doing like your Instagram,
taking my kids to gymnastics
that.
And baseball,
and you're
and
a dad,
piano and ballet,
and doing bikes with your kids. We were talking about before birthdays,
yeah.
All that. So, yeah, what advice do you have? Because we've actually had quite a few in our community, like on the coaching calls they do, where they're like, I want to write a book, or I want to start a TPT store. They want to do something on the side and still teach. What advice do you have for those listeners?
Like anything, if you want to make it happen, you'll make it happen. You'll find the time. Because like people, the biggest comment I always get is, where do you have the time to do literally anything? Like, and I'm not burnt out. I mean, right now it's 9 o'clock. I don't drink coffee. I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning, not by choice, by my child's choice, but I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, this is a long day for me, but like, if like anything else in this world, if you want it, nobody's going to give it to you. So like, you know, those the good things, you know, things come to those who take it. Not like, you can't just sit back and say, oh, yeah, I want to do a TPT. I want to write a book. No one's going to write a book for you. No one's going to start a Teachers Pay Teachers store.
Right.
No one's going to do stand up for me. Like, it's not easy. I get out of work on Fridays. I pick up my kids. I do everything. My son plays chess on Fridays. I take my son to chess. I take my daughter with us. We run around. We play. Give my wife some time home alone, right? Then we get home from chess. I bathe the kids. I give everybody a kiss. And I drive to the airport. I fly to insert city here at 9 o'clock at night. Get into the city at 2 a.m. Then I check into a hotel. I spend the next day in the city. I do the show. I try to get a red eye home on Saturday night and get home by like 6 a.m. on Sunday, or I fly out Sunday morning at 6 a.m. so I could be home by 9, 10 a.m. so I could spend the day with my kids. So it sucks. There's no break. Like anything, you know, you've had your business now. There's no break. Like,
yeah,
like there's no relaxing for me.
No.
Like there's no, I'm going to just sleep late. Like that doesn't exist. The weekends are not my chance to sleep in because I'm on the road and I'm doing stuff, you know? So, and then I record this. I have my own podcast, the Soul Studies podcast. I record that at nighttime twice a week. So like on top of being on other people's podcasts, we record our own pod. You know what I mean? And my wife owns a business and I'm helping her as much as I can. So it's not easy, but like anything, if you want to do it, you make it work. You find the time, because time will not find the time for you. As you know from the show, I'm not good with analogies.
Right. It's perfect. Yeah. And I think like what you said, it's like we don't always have like all that time to like sleep in or whatever for like doing all that other stuff. But if you love what you do, which it seems like you do love what you do, then it does fill you up in another
like
way.
Yeah, like teaching,
you know,
sucks,
so.
Right? I hate teaching, but teaching is, no, I love, I do love teaching. I hate the other stuff of teaching, but I love the actual act of teaching.
Right.
But teaching's like my side job, because like my passion is comedy and making people laugh and having fun entertainment-wise. So like that stuff I look forward to on the weekends. So I'm just like during the week, mm-hmm. I'm just like at work to pass the time. Then I'm with my kids. I have fun with my kids. Then I go to bed at night. You know what I mean? And then I'm excited for the weekends. Then I go do the shows. I go do all that. That's cool. You know? So,
yeah.
So that's it. You just find something you love and you never work a day in your life.
Yes, exactly. I love that. Like, and it's like, sounds cliche, but it's true, you know, because if you love what you do, like, I think I'm trying to remember where I heard it once, but like, if you love it enough that you would do it, like not getting paid for it, then you know.
And that's the thing.
That,
like, I didn't get paid for comedy for years. Like, you know, the first few years of your comedy life, you're not making money. Like, sometimes you're paying.
Yeah.
It's like being an actor. How many actors were in independent films for free before they made any money? You know.
Yeah, and that's how it needs to be with a lot of things you start up, like with a business. It's not like, boom, all of a sudden it's coming right in, you know, or like your book, you have to like really work for
and
it.
Like,
whatever,
and I say this
know?
About everything, anything in life. If you want it, you make the time for it, whether it's relationships, whether it's a job, whether it's your kids, your family, your friends, you make the time. Like I always think back to like when I was younger, like, and like you're dating somebody, right? And it's like, Think about like the beginning phases of dating. Now it's like, all right, go to bed, you know, whatever. But like the beginning phases of dating where you're like, I'll stay up till 4 in the morning just to talk to you on the phone because I want to. You know what I mean? And it's like, and
yeah,
and there's like that. You don't care if you're tired the next day because you want to be with that person. You know, so people will make time for the things they want to do.
100%. Yeah. And speaking of your shows, we're so excited to have you at our Educate and Rejuvenate coming up. And you will be talking about how to use humor in their teaching. Kind of blending those two things you're good at. So what benefits will they get when they come to your
basically
keynote?
They're just going to it's really about establishing connections with the kids. I think like that's the biggest takeaway.
Yeah.
I've always taught rough kids. And the reason I teach rough kids is because every year they're like, hey, you're good with these kids. I'm not like from the rough streets. I'm not like, I don't relate really in any way, but what I can do is be nice to people, make them laugh, make them feel welcome, make them feel comfortable. Yeah. And that's 90% of being a good teacher is classroom management. And like classroom management is my thing. And I don't like, you know, I'm not like they're screaming and yelling at me. I don't do that ever. I don't think I've ever yelled in 13 years of teaching. So no, well, in the beginning, probably for sure, but like not in the last 5 years, 6 years. So like, and it just comes with creating relationships with students. And obviously the way I do it is by using humor, but I think there's so many different ways that you can do it. Using humor is one of them, but it's just coming off as genuine and relatable to the people that makes them the students that. Listen, stand-up comedy and teaching are very similar. You put on a show 5 periods a day. I put on a show 5 times a weekend. You know, some crowds are different than others. Some classes are different than others. You know, like something that works for one crowd doesn't work for the next crowd. Sometimes teaching one style doesn't work necessarily for the next class, not in the same way. You know, I have classes now that I got to be stricter with. I have classes I could be more loose with. There's crowds that some of them you need to just do the material and get out. Some want to talk the whole time. So, you know, that's how,
you feel it out. Yeah.
And you don't know until you get there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if our listeners want to check out your show, see if they can get tickets to one before they sell out, or if they just want to connect with you, where can they find you?
So you can find me
online?
On Instagram. That's where I use the most. It's Stand Up Randazzo. That's Stand Up, like you're standing up. And then Randazzo is my last name, R-A-N-D-A-Z-Z-O. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram, and then that has links to everything, shows. I'll be all over. I'll be in Poughkeepsie. So I don't know when this episode's going to air, but I'll be in Poughkeepsie, New Jersey, Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, Hershey, Pennsylvania, Tampa, Florida, Austin, Texas. I don't know. A whole bunch of places. I'll be everywhere. Yeah. So well,
fun.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on, Gasper.
Yeah,
so fun to have you again.
We'll stay after. I'll give you all the dirt before I go to bed.
Sounds good. Okay. We'll talk to everybody else later. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you're ready to take the next step, I would love for you to purchase a ticket to join me live at Educate and Rejuvenate Summer 2024, the education event of the year happening on July 16th and 17th this year. We have 2 incredible keynote speakers, Gasper Randazzo, who's a teacher and stand-up comedian who was featured on Netflix on the show The Trust just recently, and Christina Kuzmich, who is an incredible best-selling author, video creator, influencer, mom, amazing person who was also our keynote last year. She's back. Everybody loved her so much. We have an incredible lineup of additional speakers teaching on topics such as math, language arts, reading, social emotional learning, classroom management, homeschooling, and tackling burnout. This year, we have a super clear teacher track and a parent track for homeschoolers. And your ticket gets you access to whichever track you like, or you can even watch sessions from both if you want to. We will start the day all together with a workout each morning. We'll have panels with the speakers. Plus, you'll get to join me for some live life coaching, as well as with some of our other club coaches. It is the best professional development you could ever attend. There are prizes, lives, thousands of like-hearted educators all coming together. And all of this is happening from the comfort of your own home. So go to educateandrejuvenate.com now to learn more about the 2024 event. Or if you're listening to this later, that link will show you what is up next as we'll continue to do events like these. And I hope to see you at the next one.